What up, what up, what up, everyone? This is the Ultimate Patriots Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Dennis Tien. Joining me, as always, the CEO of Hedge Better, Justin Fine. We are obviously recording remote tonight. We are recording on Wednesday night. And that there are two reasons for that. One is there is huge breaking news tonight about Matthew Judon, and we wanted to get an episode in the books to discuss that. And number two is that stud of a man on the other side of the screen there is getting married next week, and he is super busy. And this was the only time that we could find. Justin, my man, what is going on?
Oh, well, I mean, you just said it, man. Busy, 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 but exciting time. Happy to be able to record. Looking forward to more Patriots football coming up.
Absolutely, man. You got a lot going on this week. The big wedding next Friday night. And we are planning to record on Monday as well. And that will give us the chance to talk about whatever happens in the game last night. But you know what? These preseason games have become such a joke anyways. Yeah. Like, there probably won't be a ton to talk about.
No, I mean, look, unless they seriously, you know, try to step it up with Drake May. I want to see more Drake May. You know, I wanted to see maybe even a little bit more Zappy. Like, I think they should get Zappy out there because I think the preseason is a good opportunity to get Zappy some reps, boost his stock a little bit, and then ship him out of there.
See, I push back on that because I just feel like we've already know what Zappy is. We've seen plenty of Bailey Zappy. We don't need to see any more of him.
But the thing is, I don't want to see more of him for us. I want to see more of him because, I mean, look, and do you think they carry four in this roster? Do you think they keep Zappy? I mean, I'd rather try to see if I could get something for him, maybe, right? Try to let him go show off a little bit in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but I just feel like I think he's going to end up being a training camp cut anyways. I don't think Zappy has a ton of value, and he's gotten plenty of time on the field for anyone in the league to take a look at what he is and see what they will be bringing in with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point everyone knows Zappy is kind of just going to – he'll probably fade out of the league at some point. But you know what? I hate to see a guy like that, not get anything in return. I know it happens all the time, but – You know what,
Justin? I mean, this is one of the things we were going to talk about next week because, you know, not this week, but I was going to bring this up. I mean, I know everyone's saying cut Zappy, cut Zappy, cut Zappy. But I got to tell you, if May is as far away as they say, Bailey Zappy might actually have some value to this team. If they're going to have to roll with Jacoby Brissett this year because you literally can't even put May on the field, then you actually might want to re-examine getting rid of Bailey Zappy. But we're going to address that on next week's episode. Tonight, we have to dedicate our time. We have a good list of topics tonight. We're going to go through a few of the bigger issues, and then we're going to save some stuff for next week. But the big story tonight, the breaking news that we really have to bring up, is the trade of Matt Judon to the Atlanta Falcons for a third-round pick. I have a ton of thoughts about this trade from a lot of different angles. I'm sure you do, too. Let me start with this, Justin. This is the first thing I thought of when I heard about the Matthew Judon trade, and that is that this just really further validates that this Patriots franchise is looking on 2024 as a rebuilding year, call it a bridge year, call it whatever you want, but I don't really feel like they are in it to win it in 2024. They're clearly playing the long game. Yeah. The coach they hired tells you that. The quarterback they drafted tells you that. The way they've approached training camp tells you that. And now trading Matthew Judon for a third-round draft pick also tells you that. Agree or disagree, Justin?
No, I mean, totally agree. You know, you talk about all those people who got contracts over the offseason, right? I think that even, you know, at the time we were looking at it as like, oh, okay, you know, they're trying to keep this team in place, right? Maybe they think, you know, Jacoby Brissett or Drake May can kind of make them competitive this year. But I think really what it does is it furthers your point that they're just trying to lock people up for the future. They know this is a long-term rebuild. They know it's going to take a couple of years. You know, maybe they didn't see what they wanted to see out of their quarterback play so far to say, hey, it's worth keeping a guy like Judon, taking a shot at this year. And they figured they could, you know, try to get what they can for him. I love the trade for Atlanta. I think, you know, I think for New England to get a third-round pick, you know, it's okay. Not the worst thing in the world. I wonder if there's a team out there that maybe would have given like a second or maybe, you know, a third and a player. But at the end of the day, I think it's an okay trade for the Patriots. I think it's a great trade for Atlanta.
Why is it a great trade for Atlanta?
I just think that's exactly like what Atlanta needs. Like Atlanta needs a veteran presence in that locker room, somebody who can help them set the edge and get after the quarterback. Like that team has a great secondary. They struggle up front with their front seven. They're supposed to have a revamped offense. If Matthew Judon could stay healthy, he could be the type of player that could bring that defense together and make them an actual threat in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of my impression as well. I mean, I think it's a great move for Atlanta. I mean, let's face it, like when we're talking about the compensation that the Patriots got back for Matthew Judon, I mean, one of the things you have to factor in is Atlanta is actually probably going to be pretty good there. So yeah. Looking, I think, at a mid to late third round pick, this is right. Not going to be like effectively a second round pick type situation. This is going to be a later in the draft pick. You know, Justin, from the Patriots perspective, you just kind of hit on this. I don't love what they got back. I mean, I think if we're looking at it rationally and we look across the league at what teams are getting when they're trading established veteran players, and you look at the contract situation Judon is in, I add it all up. And look, a third round pick is actually probably pretty good yield for what they got. But to me, a third round pick is a lottery ticket. It's a lottery ticket that won't pay any benefits for a year, two, 3 years down the road, if it does at all. And I just hate that they gave up one of their defensive players for really something that is a very much an uncertain whether it's ever going to benefit this franchise on the field.
I mean, look, with that third round pick, you know, again, it's not that I don't hate it. Like, I just think they could have gotten more for it. I look at it and I'm like, I find it hard to believe that somebody around the league for a guy like Matthew Judon, right, wouldn't have potentially given you a second round pick or at least a third round pick and some draft and some player capital back. I just don't think that was the best offer they could have got. And that makes me wonder one of two things. A, were they just kind of lazy and did they kind of make a mistake when they were, you know, approached trading him? Or was it one of those things where it started to become a detraction in the locker room or maybe on the field? Maybe it was starting to hinder some of the development and the progress, and they just viewed it as like, hey, we got to get him out of town as soon as possible. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you have to factor in the player's contract situation, and I think that affected the Patriots' leverage in the deal because other teams know the player. First of all, let's just say this. Matthew Judon didn't want to be here, I think. Right. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago, because if he did want to be here, he would not have conducted himself the way he did during training camp. So that affects your leverage. Other teams know that. The contract situation affects your leverage. Where your franchise is right now and the fact that you're not competing this year with or without Matthew Judon, I think that all affects the Patriots' leverage. And I think that did affect the value of the player and what they could have gotten back for him.
I mean, I think so too. But again, we've seen teams get desperate, right? I feel like all around the league, it really doesn't matter what position, right? When there's a good player that's available and you're one of these teams that perceive yourself as being one or two good players away from really making yourself like a legitimate contender, we've seen teams overpay. I mean, I would imagine, you know what I mean? I would imagine that there must have been an opportunity to at least get a little bit more out of it. That's kind of my thing. I get it. His injury status, his age, you know, kind of what he was pulling in while he was here. I get it. That's all part of the equation. It all factors in. But, you know, I think we could have waited a little bit or at least maybe sniffed out some of that desperation and found somebody who was just willing to give a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right. I have the same feeling as I feel the same way as you do, but the realist in me knows that as much as it sucks, this actually probably was good value. And I feel like they could have done a lot worse in the compensation back for him. Like, I mean, at least they got a third round pick. I mean, if it was a fourth or fifth, you know, what would we be saying then? It's hard to trade established veteran players. The compensation, the yield back is not always as good as we hope it to be.
Right.
I mean, I'm not thrilled. Clearly, I'm with you. Like, I'm not thrilled. Like, because this is just not going to help them, you know, maybe ever. You know, it's the same thing with Garoppolo. They, you know, when they traded Garoppolo a few years ago, and we all thought they were going to get this, like, huge yield. And there's a whole mythology to that with Belichick and Kraft and DeKraft intervening, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is, you know, what'd they get? A second-round pick. When they traded Matt Cassel a few years ago, they got a second round pick. You know, it sucks when you trade these tangible assets and you don't get anything back but a chance that you might get a player down the road 2-3 years.
And that's kind of my thing is like, if you're not trading it for a sure thing, or at least something that has like a high probability of panning out, and you have the cap space, then I don't understand why you don't just sign them to the contract. Like that to me is where it's one thing. If you can't afford to re-sign a player like that, then it's like, okay, you got to get rid of them regardless. But if you have the cap space and you're able to sign somebody, what's the point of shipping them out for something that's not guaranteed at all, or even potentially less than what his true market value actually might have been? That's where I get a little bit bothered by it. But I hope it's for the best. I hope it allows some of these guys like Keon White and whatnot to develop. But you know what? At the end of the day, the Matthew Judon chapter is over, and I hope some of these young guys are able to step up.
Yeah, well, I think you're hitting on right now something that is an important thing that we really haven't mentioned yet. And it's one of the things I love about this deal is that to me, this was a power move by Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf. And I think a necessary power move to come in and establish that this is not going to be romper room, substitute teacher, do whatever you want and get away with it. Let's face it. Matthew Judon was disruptive, bordering on disrespectful to Gerard Mayo for the 2.5 weeks of training camp thus far. And I think that is probably the X factor in why you make this trade. You know, even though there are a lot of reasons maybe why you don't, at the end of the day, Gerard Mayo had to make a statement to his locker room that the kind of conduct that Matthew Judon has displayed thus far in training camp will not be tolerated under this new regime. Matthew Judon would never have pulled any of this if Bill Belichick was still the coach here. You can believe that. So I think Mayo had to make a statement, and I think that was a big part of this as well.
Yeah, he did. We talked about it when it happened. We said it was a moment that Gerard Mayo, I'm sure, knew was coming, and it was a moment that I'm sure he was prepared for. And that was when he had to step up and respond to insubordinates in his locker room and on his roster. And it really came down to, you know, him having to establish his presence, do what was best for the team. But you know, you hate to see it with a guy like that who could have added so much value. But at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. And like we said, this team is rebuilding, and you know, Judon's not getting any younger. He's probably not getting any healthier. If the vision for this team isn't to go out and, you know, try to make the playoffs in 2024 and you're playing the long-term game, then look, maybe you just cut your losses, make that statement move, and hope that you can turn that pick into something.
That's exactly what it was, Justin. They know they're not going to be a great team this year anyways. They didn't agree on the money. There was a huge contract issue with the player, and he was being an absolute disrespectful, disruptive influence the way he was acting himself. And they said, you know what? This is an opportunity for us to make a statement in our locker room and ship out one of our best players. How many times did Bill Belichick do that kind of stuff over the years? I think it was the right move for Mayo, for Wolf to do that. And that's probably at the end of the day why, even though I have a lot of mixed feelings about this trade, I'm going to say that I do endorse it, or I do agree with it, because, you know, we can talk about all this stuff, compensation, blah, 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 needing the player. This team's going nowhere, most likely. And long-term, big picture-wise, Mayo has to get control of this locker room. This cannot be substitute teacher romper room. And for that reason, I like this move, because this is a big step in that direction.
Yeah, for sure. And I know it's minor. It's insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But I always like, you know, if you're going to get rid of a good player and send him out of town, I like sending him to the opposite division, right? Why keep him in the conference? Why keep him in the division? Get him over to the NFC and just be done with it.
Yep, that's a good point too. And then I'll say one more thing about this, and then we're going to talk a little about Drake May and some of the stuff with the offense and all the quarterback reps from last week and the joint practices with the Eagles. Last take on Judon. Look, you know why feelings 2 weeks ago I was saying this exact point, we should probably trade him because, you know, they're not winning anyways. When I watched the game against the Panthers, I almost had a change of heart, because I was like, you know, they really need this guy. And I've kind of gone back and forth at that. But what I will say definitively is that it's week two of the preseason, and a team that was supposed to make its way on its defense has now lost arguably its two best defensive players. No Christian Barmore, no Matthew Judon. We're not even halfway through the preseason yet. That cannot be a good thing. Brace yourself. Yikes. This could get really ugly this year.
It could. And, you know, we talked about how this Patriots team has a decent secondary. I think, you know, I think they're not, you know, I think they're fairly deep. And we like a lot of that young talent and that side of the ball, but you know what? The safeties and the cornerbacks can't chase those guys around forever. I mean, any play, nope. If it goes on long enough, you find breakdowns in the coverage. Guy, you know, you see it all the time. If you're not able to get to the quarterback, you're not able to put pressure on the quarterback, inevitably there's going to be a breakdown in the coverage, and you see quarterbacks extend that all the time. And, you know, you lose Barmore, you lose Judon. I'm not saying that they're going to be an awful front seven, but they just went way down in the rankings, and it has a ripple effect, because if your front seven can't get after the quarterback, then your secondary is going to be less effective.
Yep. No question about it. And that is, you know, if you're one of these fans out there that was thinking this team was going to be able to eke its way to respectability, like you, frankly, you know, with the strength of this defense, I mean, this is a huge blow towards that. The first 3 weeks here of training camp in the preseason and how this has all gone down is a huge blow to that. And the third thing, which I was going to bring up next week, but just very quickly, you know, Christian Gonzalez hasn't looked great either. And there's been a lot of negative buzz around him. So, and I think the idea that this defense is going to be able to win them games very much in jeopardy. And oh, by the way, they did lose the best defensive coach in the history of the NFL this offseason. So add it all up, and you know, maybe that 4.5 win total is looking more and more like unders to play. I don't know, man.
Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of that 4.5 win total, here's kind of the way I look at it. If you're not going to make the playoffs, I'd almost rather them at this point, you know, 1-2. I don't care. I don't care how many games they win. If you're not going to make the playoffs, if you're not going to make it a respectable season, I'd rather you win 1 or 2 games than 4 or 5 and just boost that draft pick for next year. You could do wonders with a number 1 overall draft pick, or again, a top 3 draft pick. There's no reason to go out there and win 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that next time. I have mixed feelings about that approach too, because I feel like we'll get into that next time. I want to change subjects and talk a little bit about the quarterback reps, because that's sort of in the offense. That's sort of been the big story, I think, of the week, the way that this team handled the quarterback situation against Carolina, and then the way the quarterbacks have looked in the joint practices against the Eagles. It's all super concerning. There was a ton of negative reporting around the Philadelphia joint practices. Very discouraging if you're a Patriots fan. Long story short, they could not block for Drake May. They didn't even put May in against Carolina last week, Justin, which I absolutely hated, because you're playing a JV squad and you've got supposedly this project developmental quarterback that you just drafted number 3. Don't you want to get him some experience? And instead, you keep Bailey Zappe in there. I thought they really missed an opportunity to get Dre May some legit game experience, a step up from college. Maybe it's not regular season experience, but it's a step in the right direction for a player that apparently desperately needs it. I do not love the way they've managed Drake May in this training camp so far.
I didn't like it either. And I think it's fair to say, to piggyback off of that, that, you know, Jerod Mayo and those decisions are directly responsible for why we have so much Joe Milton hype. In this whole debate now that suddenly popped up, whether, you know, Joe Milton should be starting or not over Drake May. I don't, you know, I have hope for Joe Milton. I'm glad we took him. I think he's, you know, he's a freak athlete. He's got some potential. But the argument that he should be potentially starting over Drake May, I think, is ridiculous. And that argument gets manufactured because you have a situation against Carolina, who's arguably the only team that's worse off than you are at this point. And they're not even playing their starters. You basically you're basically playing, like you said, a JV Carolina squad. You could have put Drake May out there, let him get comfortable, let him just, you know, crap all over that worthless Carolina team and give him some confidence. But instead, you put Joe Milton out there and you create those headlines, you create that buzz. So I think, like you said, to that point, May should have been out there. It should have been practice for him. It should have been a confidence booster for him. And instead, we got the headlines now that Joe Milton should be starting over Drake May because he goes out there and he does meaningless stuff against a meaningless team in a meaningless game.
See, I look at it as a missed opportunity because you're playing right against the worst team in the league. And oh, by the way, they sat 30 of their starters.
Exactly.
So you're dealing with a JV squad for the worst team in the league. What better chance for Drake May to sharpen his teeth, work on his footwork in a game situation against a lot of contact, work on his timing, all the things we're hearing about all preseason. They passed that opportunity. And supposedly May is going to play tomorrow night against Philadelphia more. Philadelphia has a terrific defense, right? We heard what happened in joint practices. Now you're really putting May in a much tougher situation, a much harder landing. It was a missed boat. It really was. It's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, right? But it just shows, you know what it shows to me, Justin? That it makes me question if Gerard Mayo really knows how to develop the young quarterback.
I totally agree. That's still yet to be proven. And I think you're right. If you're going to play him against Philadelphia, how do you not let him go at least and get his feet wet against Carolina? It doesn't make any sense. It seems like you would do the complete opposite. It seems like you would protect him, give him a little confidence boost against Carolina, and then protect him against the Philadelphia team that, you know, could potentially hurt him if they're not careful out there, especially if their line's looking as bad as they say. I haven't seen anything yet that's shown me that they know what to do with this kid. And honestly, like, I don't know if it's necessarily that Drake May's behind all these other rookies. I think he just hasn't been given the chance like some of these other guys have.
Yeah. And I mean, look, that to me, I know a lot of people are concerned about Drake May. I'm not concerned about him yet. It's way too early to be concerned. I need to see him actually fail on the field before I even think I'm going to get concerned about him. But what I am concerned about is Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt and this coaching staff. Because to me, what they're showing is that they don't really have a plan or pathway to develop this young player at this point, or I don't know if I have confidence that they know what to do with Drake May.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. We're gonna have to see something. Who knows? I mean, maybe Drake May comes out tomorrow night and surprises us. Maybe he looks good against a superior Philadelphia team. But I think if that's the case, it's still kind of just like a fluke and they didn't approach it the right way.
No doubt. And you look across the league, like, I mean, look at, you know, McCarthy, who's obviously hurt now. He looked great. You can go down the list. Every single one of them went in there and they got reps. I mean, look, J.J. McCarthy did what he did against backups. Michael Penix looked good against a bunch of backups. You know, the rest of these guys, you could say it the same. Even Mac Jones cut in and got some reps, right, and looked good. It's about the reps. It's not about necessarily how they look or saying that, you know, because J.J. McCarthy threw two touchdowns in the second half of a meaningless preseason game, that somehow that means the Patriots made a mistake picking Drake May. I mean, that's an absurd take. That's a short-sighted take. But it really is about the work that these other guys got. And for some reason, the Patriots decided, you know, we're not even going to bother giving our guy that work. And that's what I find upsetting.
Yeah, I find that totally, totally upsetting too. And again, it's just creating confusion and chaos where you already have so much uncertainty. I felt like they would have a better plan of attack for this.
I couldn't agree more. Do you have any concern about Drake May, Justin?
I mean, I have a little bit of concern. I mean, but again, it's like I don't really know what to make of it because I don't know whether to be concerned that he's not where he needs to be and maybe that's why we're not seeing him in the capacity that we should be, or whether it's because they're just totally mismanaging it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'll say this, right? If it's actually legitimately true that Jake May is so unready at this point that he can't even step on a preseason field against the Carolina Panthers, if that's legitimately true, then that is a little bit concerning. But I guess my point is, I think it's more a coaching staff thing, and I'm not going to push the alarm button until I actually see the guy fail on the field. But right. If you really feel like this guy is so raw and so like just unpolished that you can't even put him out there, I mean, that, you know, I don't know, that doesn't bode well.
No, it definitely does. It doesn't bode well. Something's not right, but we don't know. Right. We don't know what it is yet.
You know, I'm blaming the coaching staff right now, but it could be me. I mean, we're going to, time will tell. Let's see him get in a game before we actually, you know, make any judgments on that, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
All right. One last take, Justin, then we're going to wrap it up. We're not going to do any around the league or preview. One last take for you. And I think we should talk very briefly and just kind of close the loop on the Brandon Ayuk thing from last week. We talked extensively about this on the last episode of the podcast. What I've heard a lot this week is this take that free agents won't come to New England, talent won't come to New England for X, Y, and Z reasons. We've all heard the roster of those reasons. I'm pushing back on that a little because this team just went out and they had no problem retaining the players that were already here. They signed all their own players because they paid them. They were able to bring in a few free agents because they paid them. The reason why Brandon Ayuk didn't want to come here or Calvin Ridley didn't want to come here, it's not because of all New England is football Siberia. It is because the passing game here is atrocious. There's no established offensive coaching. There's no established quarterback. And you're coming to one of the worst offenses in the league. No wide receiver wants to come to a situation like that. I still think if they pay for talent, they'll be able to bring in position players, but just not receivers because they don't have a quarterback.
I think it's one of those situations where, you know, you're in a weird spot right now as a franchise where if somebody comes here and takes a big contract to come play, it's more often than not just because they're solely focused on the money than they actually view New England as a spot, like a destination spot that they want to wind up in, a team that they want to play for. And unfortunately, you have to prove yourself just like the other teams that are trying to rebuild. You have to give people a reason to want to come play here. So that means you have to develop your young talent. You have to hit you have to hit on your draft picks, and you have to compete and make it look like you have potential. And that this is a place where guys can come and have a good opportunity. And after the last couple of years, especially with all the turnover heading into this year, I just can't, you know, I can't see a veteran or anybody willing to or wanting to come here as their number one option, especially, you know, to take a discount. I mean, look, I shouldn't say discount with Ayuk, because Ayuk wanted $30 million. They offered him $32 million. I mean, they were going to overpay what he wanted. But it just really goes to underscore that at the end of the day, like, as much as it is about money for these guys, there are some franchises and some opportunities where it's like not even the money is worth it to them.
Yeah, but what I would say to that is that this is the reality of the NFL. We have a distorted picture of that because we played here with Belichick and Brady for 20-something years, and players came here and they took less money to come here because of the Belichick Brady thing and wanting to win and wanting to have the chance to play in this program. While we were experiencing that, this is really more or less what the other 31 teams are experiencing, which is you have to pay. Sometimes you have to overpay to get players to come to your program. And I still believe that if the Patriots pay and overpay, players will want to come here. I don't believe this is football Siberia, but I think it's Siberia for wide receivers, and I think they're going to have a hard time getting any wide receiver to come here as long as they don't have a quarterback and they don't have proven offensive coaching.
Well, that's exactly it, right? I think to your point, like, yes, you can't always overpay the hell out of somebody and just make them an offer they can't refuse, so to speak, but you're right. You need to show that you got a coaching staff that people want to play for. You need to show that you got a quarterback that people want to be on that offense and catch balls from, right? If you're a defense, you need to show that, hey, because look, I think back to some of these teams, you know, some of these good defenses that we've seen over the years, where I think about Denver specifically over the last couple of years, or like the Jets over the last couple of years, where you have a great defense that like halfway, three quarters through the year, they start to give up and just it just wanes because they get no help on the offensive side of the ball. Like it kills their will to continue to go out there and compete, right? So you really do got to prove that you can compete, that you got some talent. And like you said, that the coaching staff is up to par. And then, and only then, like, can you think about people potentially seeking you out or taking team-friendly deals?
Yeah, this team will have no problem attracting cornerbacks, linebackers, linemen, offensive linemen if they pay for them. Right. That's really how I feel. You know, that's really how I feel. It really is going to be about bringing in those skill position players. And we've already seen it. It's a huge challenge. But even Brandon Ayuk was probably going to make more money in New England than my guess is he will where he ultimately ends up. And he didn't want to come here probably because he felt like it was a dead end street. Like, I go to New England, I'm going to catch 68 passes for 900 yards, four touchdowns, and we're going to be 6-11. And my career is, even though I'm getting paid, my career is going to go absolutely nowhere. I'd rather be in a team, in a franchise that I feel like I can win with, even if I make less. Or not even win with. How about just produce with?
Yeah. 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 I mean, the thing is, too, is if he goes to the Steelers, I don't exactly see that being a huge upgrade either. I get it. Pittsburgh's a better situation right now. I like their coach. I think that's a decent team, but like you act like, you know, you're going from what's perceived to be one of the top contenders and you're downgrading. Right. So, I mean, it's all stuff you got to weigh out. I think at the end of the day, Ayuk stays a 49er. I don't think he wants to leave. I think this was him calling, you know, John Lynch's bluff and Shanahan's bluff and just kind of seeing, you know, what he could get away with. I think he's actually going to resign.
Yeah, I agree with that take. I 100% agree with that. My guess is that Ayuk stays in San Francisco. I mean, there was some talk of him going to Pittsburgh today, but be productive. He knows he's going to win. And I think that will ultimately serve him best in the long term. But I will say, you know, if he went to Pittsburgh, he would also have some talent on that team, like Deontay Johnson, presumably is going to be lining up across for him. It's going to be a much better situation for him than, unfortunately, New England would be right now.
Yeah. No, it is. It's going to be a better situation. I mean,
not a great situation. I agree with you. Pittsburgh is not a great situation, but it's just compared to what he faced in Foxborough, where he would have a bullseye on his uniform every week.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think he would start to get frustrated too.
No doubt. Okay. Listen, that's all the time we are going to take. I'm going to wrap it up. We'll do around the league next time. We preview the AFC North on Monday when we do record next. But we wanted to get this one episode in before the week passed because there were some huge stories this week. Do you have any final takes you want to add, Justin, before we wrap it up?
No, I'm curious to see what the plan of attack is for this Eagles game, right? I wonder what the Eagles are going to do. I wonder what the Patriots are going to do. Like we said, you know, I count that first week of the preseason as such a wash. You played against such a bum team. It was their JV squad. We talk about getting them ready for week one and coming out of the gate, you know, ready to go. I think this is a perfect opportunity against a good Philadelphia Eagles team to get some real game or regular season type reps in. And I hope they take advantage of it.
I hope so. And I hope they're able to do that without getting totally manhandled by a pretty good Philadelphia defense and a pretty good Philadelphia front seven.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that, I mean, look, we knew Barmore was gone. Judon's gone. You know, the last preseason game, it almost seemed like, okay, yeah, well, of course those guys aren't playing. But now that those guys are gone, or at least Judon, you know, I'd like to see kind of what we really have with some of these young guys. I hope to see more Keon White. I hope to see some of these other guys. And yeah, I just like to see who's going to step up and fill some roles for us.
Yeah, there'll be a lot to talk about. So we'll break it all down. We're going to record again Monday. So look for a new episode to drop early next week. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, everyone. Hopefully it'll be better than the first one. And we will pick up the baton on Monday with a new episode. Have a great week, everyone.